Welcome back to the Church History Podcast and the year 2026. Welcome back and a happy new year. I hope your family had a great Christmas vacation and a happy new year. This is just a short episode talking about last year and a little bit about this coming up year. We will have a short story at the end, so stay tuned. For Christians, there are just so many reasons for us to be excited about the day and the time that we're living in. First of all, young men are returning to church, and the churches that are growing are the traditional churches, and the liberal heretic churches are basically empty. Young men are returning to church across the Western world. In fact, so many are returning that Satan had to attack and kill this generation's greatest evangelists to those young men, Charlie Kirk. But like all martyrs, instead of ending the revival, even more young men found a church and gave their lives to Christ. We're seeing a return to families, once again in the younger generation, which is so exciting. Both men and women are seeking to start families and want a strong foundation for their marriages. I get it. For the liberal Christians, it's a difficult time to be alive. But for those of us who are serving a living, risen Savior, we can see Him at work today. In fact, let me tell you, if you're ever feeling discouraged or fearful about the world, first, of course, turn off the news. Remember, they only make money if you're watching them, and you're most likely only going to watch them if you're angry or afraid. So they're selling you fear and anger. So if you're feeling fearful and angry, turn off the news. Then if you want to get really encouraged, go to your social media and go to an account called God Behind Bars and watch reels of prisoners worshiping God. You can't be discouraged while you're watching these once hardened criminals who've turned to Christ sing and worship our Savior as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's absolutely one of my favorite things to do. In 2025, so many wars ended. The last of the Jewish hostages were finally free or their bodies returned home, and we're praising God for that answer to prayer. In 2025, the Armenian War ended in August after decades of persecution against the church in the oldest Christian nation. That war ended. The Congo-Rwanda War also ended in June. And that's going to make things a lot easier for the local pastors in Africa who are moving into these areas already to start churches. And as a side note, if you want to be part of the revival in Africa and support the modern mission movement that's training nationals to start churches in Rwanda and the Congo, I have a link in the show notes that I highly recommend. And on that note, through this group, over 10,000 local pastors have been trained and are serving in 31 countries, starting thousands of churches across the continent. Now, in Africa, this last year, there was a hard push for persecution. In 2025, an average of 30 Christians were killed in Nigeria every single day for their faith. Now, some of you might think that's not good news. And for obvious reasons, it's terrible news. This is mothers, fathers, children who were killed. But remember that this shows how strong the faith of the Nigerian Christian is. They refused to stop going to church. Even when their churches were burned down, they met in the ashes of the church. Even the children continued to praise and worship God while their parents were being buried. But in a Christmas miracle, the terrorists who were planning a Christmas Day attack were killed when the U.S. bombed the terrorist camp, and that is good news. The war between Cambodia and Thailand also ended, and once again, it's opening the doors for missionaries to work in both of these countries. And then 2026 started off with a hallelujah and an end to the communist dictatorship in Venezuela. Venezuela has the second highest number of refugees, second only to Syria, and has been under the control of communism since I was in high school. And today, in one day, we're watching communism fall and the people becoming free. And yesterday, I had a great time watching the videos of Christians in the streets praying the Lord's Prayer and singing worship songs. It's a time to be hopeful. It's a time to keep praying. It's a time to run strong. And it's a time to continue working. One of my favorite passages in scripture is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." As we listen to the stories of church history and remember the saints who've gone before us, picture them in the stands as we run our race. Look to Christ. Remember our King, the Lion of Judah, who is right now sitting on the right hand of God. And don't give up. Run. Don't slow down. In fact, run harder. 2025 was awesome. Let 2026 be even better. So how do you not give up? How do you join the chorus of saints who've gone before you? First, if you're married, have a strong marriage and a strong family. Yes, making that a priority is part of building a strong church. Yesterday, my husband and I celebrated our 24th year anniversary. And when we were having our dinner, we talked about the importance of being a godly example to the younger couples. Two of our children are getting married this year. And also, we see so many of the young men and women today who are making that choice to start families or to make their families a priority. But many of them don't have strong families of their own to show them how to do that. We need to be that example. Come alongside the new Christians. Men, the young men coming up in church need to see what a godly man looks like. Help them and show them. Women, be the encourager. When we were first married, most of the older couples in our church were constantly criticizing us, telling us everything they thought we were doing wrong. They criticized us all the time. That was basically all they did. And it was kind of part of the church culture at the time, at least in the denomination that we were in. Don't be the enemy to the young wife. Be the encourager. Show her the right way. Lift her up. Let her know that with God's help, she can be the great wife and mother. And she can raise the next generation of the church. So that's the first thing. Be a strong family, and be an example of a strong family. Secondly, work. Work in your church. Don't attend a church. Be part of the church. Any part. Greet people. Welcome people into your church. Volunteer in the youth or children's ministry. Whatever you do, work. And that is where today's church history story comes in. This is a man you'll never find a church history curriculum about. Or it's not going to be in your children's church missionary story. This is the story of a man who is an example of what 99% of church history is made of. And it's a story that could be your story or my story. This is the story of a man that to this day, nobody knows his name. He's a man who lived in 1930, a Christian man from Charlotte, North Carolina, who was attending a tent revival service. But he made a choice. He wasn't just going to attend this service. He was going to volunteer. And he decided he would volunteer to be an usher. Now, it was his job to make sure the people coming into the tent could find a seat and that they would sit in the right places. And the tent filled up, and soon every seat was full and the service started. A job well done. And then as he was standing in the back of the tent, as the service was started and the singing was starting, he noticed two teenage boys duck into the tent. Obviously, they were just there to see what was going on. They had no intentions of coming to a church service. They wanted to know what was happening in this tent to draw a crowd. This usher took his job seriously. Everybody who came into the tent would find a seat. That's what he had signed up to do. This usher saw the teenage boys come in, look around, realize it was a church event and there was no seats anyway, and turn around and leave. The usher pushed his way through the crowd that was standing and singing. He ran outside of the tent, caught the boys. The 14-year-old boys were leaving. This usher, though, caught up with them, grabbed one of them by the arms and told them, "Don't leave. I'll find a seat for both of you. Come back with me." And then the usher did the thing that is the most uncomfortable thing for any usher to do. On that hot North Carolina night, inside that tent, he asked people to squish up. The people who had gotten there on time, he asked them to move over, squish up, and make room for these two 14-year-old boys. He sat them and then walked away. He had done the job God had for him to do. The Holy Spirit did the rest. Both of those boys went forward during an invitation and gave their hearts to God. One of those boys became the greatest leader of his generation, eventually traveling the entire world, preaching the gospel, speaking to world leaders, and moving around 2.2 million people to respond to the gospel message, come forward and give their hearts to God. And his name was Billy Graham. We don't know the name of the usher, but church history is filled with men and women just like that usher. Church history is filled with Christians who have one goal: to serve Jesus Christ. The crowd of witnesses that are cheering us on, that crowd is full of ushers, nursery workers, sound technicians, helping hands who make food and serve the poor. No books are written about them, no plaques in honor, no statues. But those servants are church history. And as we go into 2026, whether you're serving as an usher, changing diapers in the nursery, teaching children's ministry, volunteering on youth nights, making meals for the sick, visiting nursing homes, remember that the crowd of witnesses is cheering you on. Don't give up. Double down and run harder. And third, read your Bible. Every year I read through the Bible in chronological order. That's how we know about the saints who've gone before us. And reading it in chronological order is, in my opinion, the best way to read through the Bible. And in the link in my show notes, I'm going to have my reading plan, which starts this Sunday, so you can join and read right along with me. At the end of each day, there's a little section where you can leave notes on what you thought or questions that you have, which I can respond to. Remember, we serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lion of Judah. We are the church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. So go out there and make this year, 2026, the best year yet. We ended last year in church history talking about the church at war and wrapping up World War I. In our next episode, we're going to talk about the time between World War I and World War II, what was happening in the church. And then we'll dive into World War II as we continue our series on the church at war. In the meantime, my prayer for you this year, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app so you don't miss an episode. We release new content every Monday. And don't forget to check out our website at lauraleesiemens.com for more information and additional resources. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week as we continue our journey through the incredible history of the church.